Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School. Here, you'll get fresh insight from the people at the very top of the tech companies who make the products we love. Remember, you can learn product management live online. Visit productschool.com to discover our new certificate path. There, you can also join the world's largest community of PMs and network with the leaders from these podcasts at our online events. There's something happening almost every day.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to my webinar. A very quick self-introduction. I am a senior tech product manager at Amazon working in Alexa Smart Home, specifically on camera features. Today, I'll be talking about how to think big as a product manager. I would assume that the audience for this webinar are people who want to know a little bit more about product management. So either you are people who are not doing PM, maybe an engineer, a QA, or TPM, who's thinking about transitioning to a PM role, or you are still at school and thinking about starting a PM career after you graduate, just like what I did 5 years ago. If you are an experienced PM, this webinar is probably not the right for you because it will talk about basic learnings and frameworks that will be more helpful for people who are looking to step into product management. Okay, so let's get started. Think big. I'm sure you have heard from a lot of people, hey, as a product manager, you think big. Think big is actually an Amazon leadership principle. Specifically in Amazon's context, think big is, as written here, thinking small is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Leaders create and communicate a bold direction that inspires results. They think differently and look around corners for ways to serve customers. There are two things I want to highlight is number one, bold directions. From Amazon perspective, as a PM, we are expected to really think about a product in the longer term. Instead of having a very narrow and short-sighted direction. The second thing I want to highlight is look around corners. As a product manager, you are constantly dealing with tons of ambiguity where there's no predefined answers. So how do you look for ways to help serve your customers is really, really important in the process of thinking big. Today, so we will cover three takeaways that I learned in my past PM experience. It doesn't mean to be exhaustive. It's just a couple of learnings that I have through my own experience. Number one, start with problems. Sometimes the problems that you think you're trying to solve for customers might not be the right problem. Second is be a sponge, really seek perspectives. Also, I'm gonna touch on what are the mechanisms you can build to be a sponge and keep learning. Number three, be comfortable with ambiguity, test and learn. So let's dive deep into the first thing. Start with a problem. Let me tell you a personal story. So back in 2017, there was this product, which you guys might know, it's already in the market, called Amazon Basics Microwave. Right, it's a product that Jeff Bezos envisioned will serve millions of customers. When I first joined the team, the leadership came and asked me, hey, think about voice experiences for microwaves. Because in the kitchen, very often customers' hands are very messy. It's covered in dough or marinade or whatever. So how do we create a hands-free experience for a kitchen? When customers' hands are dirty, what are the use cases we can unlock? My first reaction is great. Let's think about use cases when your hands are covered with grease, and what features we can launch. But then when you dive deep and really ask, is that really the right problem my customers are facing today? Maybe not, right? Because think about when you're using microwave. You're in front of microwave, and your hands are usually not covered with grease or flour, not and very different than when, for example, when you're baking. Then what is the problem that customers are facing today, right? So to answer that, I talked to a bunch of customers, as well as the different microwave manufacturers. And through all those conversations, really peeling the onion, I found out that the real customer problem is that there is so much advanced features that customers want to use, but it's just so complicated. For example, if you want to defrost 5 pounds of chicken, think about it on your own microwave. Do you know how to do that? It's just so complicated, right? So then the problem you're trying to solve for customers, how do we make it super simple for customers to use those advanced functionalities so that they can cook perfect food? Starting from that perspective, we launched a whole bunch of voice experiences, such as Alexa, cook popcorn, Alexa, defrost 3 pounds of chicken, etc. So really start with the problem. Really ask yourself, what exactly is the problem you're trying to solve for customers? Then if you're new to product management, you'd be thinking, okay, that sounds good, but how do I find out, like, what are the resources, right? What is the thinking framework? You find out about the real customer problem. Think about what goal is my customer trying to achieve. In a microwave example, the goal customer trying to achieve is to cook the perfect food. Then step two, what are customers doing today to achieve that goal? Well, customers today look for user manuals to figure out how to defrost 5 pounds of chicken, or they simply give up because it's too much hassle. Step three, verify your assumptions with customers. There are tons of ways to do user research and understand customers, which we'll also touch base a little bit later here. The second learning that I have through my PM experiences, think big, you really need to be a sponge. As we have talked about in the Amazon Leadership Principles, when we talk about think big, it's really thinking a 3 to 5 year horizon. And you might be asking, hey, it sounds very vague, like what are the things I can do to help me be a sponge and think a long-term horizon? You need to ask yourself, where is the market heading? Do I see a change of behavior in my customer? What am I uniquely positioned to offer? Your first reaction might be, okay, let's find some industry reports. But very often, those industry reports are not deep enough. They tell you high-level data, but don't tell you insights. And what you need is insights if you want to serve your customers. So what I found super useful is through a simple Google search. Through that, you'll be amazed on how much dedicated podcasts or even blog posts that talk about your specific area. For example, to understand market trend, customer need in the food tech and connected kitchen space, there is spoon.com, which is a blog post that I follow, and podcast as well, that can really help you soak up the industry trend and different knowledge. But then the problem I used to find myself having is, I'm very often swamped by the work. So 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I found out, hey, I haven't really dedicated enough time to soaking up that knowledge. At that point, something that will really help you is build mechanisms. And that's what I did later. There's a quote by Jeff Bezos, good intentions don't work. You want to learn, of course, but sometimes you're too busy. Mechanisms will actually work. Some of the mechanisms that I did to help me keep soaking up new knowledge, industry trend, is to dedicate time. I actually book 2 hours every week on my calendar to check out industry trend, blog posts, etc., to help me learn this space, because it's changing so fast. Other mechanisms could include, hey, you can have a weekly, monthly, or quarterly sync with your stakeholder teams or multifunction teams, because they are work very often, especially in a big organization, they are working on their stuff, which you don't really know what they're working on. So everybody's kind of working silo, but everybody, because everybody's smart, right? You can always connect and ask them, hey, what are you guys working on and how can we collaborate to make a better customer experience, et cetera. Let's go through this. And also another mechanism that I did is create a Google spreadsheet so that me and my partners can jot down some ideas and build on top of each other. That also creates a kind of like an idea book. Another thing that I want to talk about, keep soaking up and be a sponge, is listen, not just hear. I think you probably have heard it a lot of times. One thing that I find helpful is when you talk to different teams to listen to their ideas, there are two different types, right? There's informal sessions and formal sessions. For the informal sessions, but they serve different purposes. The informal session is usually used to get ideas and build trust. And also, when you are thinking about a product, you usually think of through from ideation phase. So instead of involving your stakeholder teams, such as BD and designer, later on when you have everything jotted down and airtight, involve them at the very beginning, because you never know. They have tons of great ideas that will actually make your product even stronger before you go very deep. So those are informal sessions. And formal sessions are usually more for in-depth discussion and seeking feedback, which means you already have for example, a business requirement document, or what Amazon likes to use is PR FAQ, which is a document that talks about, this is the product that I will build on behalf of customers. When you have those documents or some presentations, you use formal sessions to seek feedback. Okay, so the third learning that I have is be comfortable with ambiguity. Because think big is very, very often associated with ambiguity. When you enter a new space, you don't know where the product market fit is. So very often you experience this emotional cycle of change. This is a really interesting graph. So when you have an idea, right? Stage one, right? You are very optimistic, but it's uninformed optimism. And then when you think further about this idea and talk to a bunch of people or collect some data, you start to doubt your idea a little bit, so that you go to stage two, informed pessimism. As you think about it more, you reach the rock bottom, which I have experienced many times, is stage three, valley of despair. But then at this point, what you can do is talk to more people, collect some more data. But one thing that would even be better is get something out the door to your beta customers, right? Even if they don't like it, they will give you tons of ideas on how to improve your product, so that you can go from stage three to stage four here, which is informed optimism, because you get some feedback from a small group, your beta customers, on how to iterate or even pivot your product. And then stage five is success and fulfillment, which means you found your product market fit. Now the question for you is, how do you scale a product to reach more customers, or how do you drive more engagement? I think that is the end of my presentation, and I hope you like it. I think Product School is going to leave a link where you can reach me and ask me more questions. Not only related to how to think big as a product manager, but also any ideas you want to discuss about product managing.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.